Did that put you in a space? It put me in a space. Chantel, I'm very grateful. You know, it's often important that we remind ourselves why we come together. And it's going to be daylight savings time, and so we're going to probably be asking that question as light gets a little bit less and a little more darkness. Oh, it'd just be easier to stay in bed. It'd just be easier not to come and be a part of a community. And then we're reminded with songs like that, that love is the reason we come together. That's all. The rest is commentary. Everything I say is commentary on that as the foundation. I will sing. I will preach. I will pray. I will meditate on the goodness of love's essence and love's presence. Now, you're probably wondering why we have frogs. I'm not doing a message today on the plague of frogs in Moses' time. But I'm doing this. These are two different sculptures in my house. And when I think of the goodness of love and those days where it's challenging to get up and to drag myself into the world and go, I can do this again. This is what we do here. One lifting another, lifting another, lifting another. In the name and in the songs and the prayers of love, so that we all elevate the vibration about which we are operating. That's at the bottom of the story, the bottom of the sermon. That's why we come together, to lift each other up, to help raise the vibration. And that's a holy thing that we cannot and will not take for granted. I won't. Especially because this is not necessarily what it looks like out there. Have you been paying attention to the world as we see it today? That doesn't happen a lot. There's a lot of separation and duality, and there's a lot of us with them and you and me against each other. And so the frogs is what I wanted to use as analogy. Once upon a time, long, long ago, there was a frog who lived at the bottom of a deep, dark, dank well with all the rest of the frogs. And every day he would get up and he would look up and he would see the light that was calling him. The love that he knew was just at the top of that well. And all the other frogs said, don't bother. It's too difficult. It's too challenging. Others have tried and have failed. So don't even worry about it. But every day there was that call and that longing to get up and to make a jump. And then one day he woke up and he says, this is the moment. It's now. I jump. And he jumped 3 feet up into the well. And it was slippery and it was slimy. But he could feel the light. He could feel the warmth. He could feel the goodness. And it felt so good just before he slid back down 2 feet. And all the frogs below said, see, we told you it's too difficult. Don't bother. But he had sensed the light. He felt the light. And he jumped again 3 feet up with all his might and his courage, only to slide back down 2 feet. And then he did it again, 3 feet up and 2 feet down. And all the chorus of frogs in the well began to say, it's too dangerous. You're going to hurt yourself. You're getting too high. And he was tired. His heart was pumping out of his chest. He was afraid. Yet the call said, I must, I must. And he jumped another 3 feet, 2 feet, 3 feet. 2 feet. Well, it doesn't take any mathematicians in the room to know that the frog will eventually get out, yes? But takes a great deal of effort. It takes a great deal of standing in the power and the strength of the light once felt, once known, to know that I will make it. This is an analogy for where I see the world today, humanity today. The well is life, and it can be a little bit dark and dreary and dank and scary. But there's always that well that's leading us up to a higher consciousness. By the way, has anybody noticed the lights that are on in our cupola when you drive by at night? I love that. I've been wanting that for 10 years. Thanks to John Glasgow for making that happen and Wes Maxim. They made that happen. There's a light that's calling us to the top of the well, out of the muck and the mire of the human existence. And it's calling us towards the light. That's why we come together. We don't need a cupola to do it. We do it in the conversations that happen, in the prayers that we share, the songs that we sing. The light is the full expression of ourselves, the way we were created, in the image and after the likeness of love. And I will sing of that goodness even when I'm tired. It's calling us to the way we were created in the image and after the likeness of God and the way we were designed to be. How many people have ever felt that? Ever been in a human condition, in a human experience, and it's like, this doesn't feel good, but I can feel a light, I can feel a warmth, and I can remember the truth. I have not forgotten. That's what the light represents. The sides represent what? What is it? This is not rhetorical. What do the sides, the slippery, rough slides represent to you? Yes, 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 yes. For me, it represents the fears. It represents the judgments, the insecurities, the wounds. Anybody got any wounds? They'll be on display for me today. Embarrassment, pretense, a very slippery slope of the human condition that we live in today. And each jump is a striving for a more authentic and transparent part of ourselves that has not been forgotten. The soul that stands at the door of your life and is knocking and knocking loudly. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Even though the human race has forgotten and the chorus of frogs says, it's too difficult, don't bother. That voice is still speaking within you. Don't forget me. The slide back 2 feet is the culture, both internal and external. You know, it's really easy to blame the external culture as to why I'm not shining. Let me give you the list of people who are responsible for me not living up to my expectations. Let me give you the list of people that were in my way of being the magnificent light that I know myself to be. But really, 9 times out of 10, it's an internal culture. It's an internal environment that is keeping me from shining. This whole scenario I've just laid out with this silly little well is my life in a nutshell. It is my life since the moment I came into this existence and got hurt and put on a mask and got criticized and put on a mask and got judged and began to hide. I venture to guess that that's a pretty similar story to many of us sitting here. Many of us find ourselves in a Unity Church going, maybe I can make a jump. I'm tired of where I've been. I've always known there is a part of me that wanted that grander expression and that love. I know I sang of the glory of love, that deep, authentic place knocking at the door of my life saying, now, now, now. But it's a great dichotomy, isn't it? I think the world is hungry to be seen today. I'm hungry to be seen. And I have several things I wanted to say in meetings and I didn't because fear drove the response. Several things I wanted to step into, several things, and I went, man, Richard is still little Richie wearing the mask. That might hurt. That might be difficult. Somebody might not like it. Somebody might judge it. And I'm one decision away from being little Richie again and just saying, I'm fine at the bottom of the well. I'm fine hiding. And the voice says, now, now, do it again. So we're hungry to be seen, but the dichotomy is the ego is absolutely speaking very loudly on the other side. Our judgments and our insecurities and our pain and our wounds. I can see the light, I can feel the light, and I can't do it because the past wounds are running the ship. And the fears keep me at the bottom of the well, content to live in the dark with everybody else who's behaving in ways that I don't understand. How can they act like that? How can they speak like that? How can they treat each other like that? And then I go to step out and go, oh, no, just play it safe in the bottom of the well. The title of the talk today, if you haven't guessed it, is Take Off the Mask. This whole frog thing was a download from God. I'm somehow going to try and make it all fit. But I'm asking each of us on our journey to the light, to the magnificence, back to the Garden of Eden, to take off anything and everything that is blocking you from allowing yourself to be seen. To take off the masks and the weights, the souvenirs of hell that have been weighing you down and keeping you inauthentic. You know, we're at the season of Halloween, and we talk about ghosts and goblins and ghouls. I'm not afraid of any of those. But what I am afraid of are the masks that I see I put on every single morning when I go into the world. those masks are the most terrifying masks. And I see the roles and the labels and the judgments that the human race is wearing. It terrifies me that we have worn the masks long enough that we are forgetting who we are as a human race, as fellow travelers in this earth school, that we've forgotten our frogness, our lightness, our goodness, and we're listening to the voices of don't. Stay back. Stay content. I'm afraid of the masks that I see every single day as I walk the planet Earth, the pretense that is dominating. Yet we come here and the pretense melts. And we go, I see you. I behold you. I love you. And I sing of the glory of love that I see in you. And then we go out the doors, and what we've done in here dies at the front step. Because it's a little too scary out there. It's a little too inauthentic out there. Let me tell you, what we do in here, whether there's two or 200 of us, is exactly what the world needs today. And I don't want to play small with it. Howard Thurman. Let's have a quote from Howard Thurman. Let's go ahead and put it up there. Let's read it together. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. That's what the voice is saying. What makes you come alive? What makes you want to dance and to sing and to lift up to the glory of love? Find it, because it's fading if you don't feed it out there. You cannot feed it on Sunday morning between the hours of 11:15 and 12:30. You've got to feed it out there. But let's take Carl Jung's word for it together. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are. We're making our way back to the garden. That's the fall from grace, is we started defining ourselves by our humanity and not by our divinity. We started defining ourselves not by the light, but by the dark, dank experience at the bottom of a well. And guess what? We're all dying there if we don't do something different. And then this anonymous quote that I just love together. The soul's task is not to fit in, it's to unfold, to peel away every layer of false identity until only love remains. This, in a nutshell, is the gospel that has informed me to be up here at all with any degree of confidence and to speak to you today. Peel away layer after layer after layer. Scared to death somebody might see me. I had ulcers as a kid. They put me up on a stage playing piano in recitals and I about died. Oh my God, they're looking at me. I'm saying the time has come to go, yes, my God, they're looking at me. Yes, they're looking at you. They're looking at us. You know, there's a phrase that many people in Unity say, we're the best kept secret. And I'm saying dump that one right now. And go out into the world and say, yes, look at me. Not only are they looking at me, you're inviting them to look at you and to be a part of the great dance that is raising the entire human race to a higher place. That means peeling the layers off. And that is easy, right? The idea of taking off a mask is both terrifying and totally liberating. I feel the fear and do it anyway. I feel the fear and do it anyway. Sing that with me. I feel the fear and do it anyway. I feel the fear and do it anyway. One more time. I feel the fear and do it anyway. I feel the fear and do it anyway. And what do we say to those masks? Those fears, those wounds, those judgments. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. That's what we're called to do on Halloween. Go ahead and play all you want on Halloween, but pull the masks off and say, hit the road, Jack. It no longer serves me. I remember the moment where in my life I went, I'm tired of pretending. It was the moment when I began to forget who I was. I could put on a mask for you. Who do you need me to be? love me, love me. Who do you need me to be? Oh, let me get my other mask and put that on. And I became so inauthentic that the love was completely conditional and false. Talk about artificial intelligence. I was being loved for people who never really got to see me. And I was loving them just because they accepted me. That is a very lonely place to live. And when you begin to feel the fear and do it anyway, jump out of the well, that takes guts because it means stepping away from the herd mentality. We are living in a human race with a collective consciousness that says, just follow the herd. It's too dangerous. Don't shine. You're too much. You're too little. You're not this. You're not that. Hit the road, Jack. Don't let anybody let you keep you from shining the way God created you to be. God doesn't create junk. God didn't create junk. You are not junk. Hear that. Feel that, sense that, and know that. All the other frogs at the bottom of the well will judge you. I guarantee it. They will call you out and call you a failure because they didn't have the guts to be the first one to take the jump. I'm saying be the strong, courageous hero that is the first one to take the jump when all the world says no. I don't know about you, but I've gotten a little bit cynical about what I see happening with the human race. We are a world of curated images, polished personas, spiritual selfies. And when we're doing that, it is so easy to be unconscious and to fall into the rut, the trap, the norm. But let me tell you something. God doesn't commune with masks. We come. We're singing of the power of love, the goodness of love. Love does not commune with the mask. Love can't find you because you're in disguise. Love created itself. God created out of itself you and is looking for you as you're looking for it. But in your pretense, love cannot find you. God cannot and will not find you. You know, something I've noticed a lot. Anybody notice and done this exercise? We're comparing our insides to everybody else's outsides. And this is all artificial intelligence. It's not real. It's fake. But then we go home and go, I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as Olga. Oh my gosh, Dave's got it all together. I'm not as smart as... Comparison is a state of argument, and it's a state of suffering if you're in a state of argument. Take off the mask and go, I appreciate you, sister. I appreciate you, brother. I love you. That's the hymn. That is the anthem to love's presence. It's not comparing yourself in any possible way at all. It's letting love live as you the unique way. In the Gospel of Thomas, the Gnostic Gospel, it says, bring forth that which is within you, and it will give you life. Don't bring it forth, and it will destroy you. I don't know about you, but I see the human race going down the drain, staying at the bottom of the well. And if you're at the bottom of the well, you're not stagnant, you're actually dying. And that our inability to take the light from this space out there will kill us. Plain and simple. Take a breath with that. Today, I'm saying feel what you need to feel. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Think what you need to think. Speak what you need to speak. I remember the moment somebody introduced me to the master teacher Jesus as a human being. And I went, now I'm on a level playing field. I get him. He got angry. He got upset. He was afraid. He cried. He got frustrated. He said things that got written out, but they're there. That maybe, he might want to apologize for that. But the reality is, when somebody introduced me to the human Jesus, I felt that there was hope, and that was the still small voice saying, now. Now. This is the day. This is the moment. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow does not come. Now is the moment. And this is the challenge and the gauntlet I'm putting down. Don't just sing to the glory of love. Be the presence of love. How many know where the word hypocrite comes from? The Greek word for hypocrite simply means actor. That's it, the one who wears a mask. Jesus, when he said, woe to you hypocrites, He was not shaming us. He was calling us out. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Take off the roles, take off the labels, take off the judgments, and be the way I see you. Be the light. He was at the top of the well saying, I took the step. Come on up. The water's good up here. In Matthew chapter 17, we hear about the transfiguration of Jesus. It's in all the Gospels, but in Matthew 17, it's my favorite. And it says that the apostles watched as Jesus' face shone bright like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. This transfiguration has been misinterpreted for centuries. Jesus wasn't becoming anything that he wasn't already. He was revealing himself by removing the mask, by taking away the judgments and the veils and allowing that Christ essence. You see, Jesus and Christ are two different things. Jesus was a man like I am, like Bill, like Joel. But then there's that Christ essence, that light that is calling us to the top of the well. He just simply peeled the layers of humanness aside, and then he was transfigured. You see, transfiguration has nothing to do with becoming more beautiful. I can see your true self. I know who you are. I can see your true self, and I love who you are. When was the last time we spoke those words to somebody? When was the last time you spoke them to somebody who was behaving badly? I can see your true self. I know who you are. No, it's easier to just judge, to be the frog at the bottom of the well and saying, don't do it. It's not worthy. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You're going to fall. You're going to die. I'm saying, don't wait till tomorrow. The voice is saying now. I see your true self, Kimberly. I love who you are. We are connected by our heart. And no matter what you're doing or how you're behaving or what you're speaking, I will not give up my capacity to love. That's the purpose of being on earth, working with each other to raise the vibration. And when somebody's down here, be the first one to lift them up, not the first one to tear them down. That's hypocrisy. To be in here and to sing of the goodness of love and then go out there and not do it is the epitome of hypocrisy. Take the mask off. Someone has to be the first one to take the jump. Someone has to be the first one to risk sliding down 2 feet. Someone has to be the first one to risk the contempt and the judgment and the pain and the wounds, so that all of us can be elevated. I'm saying be the first one. Don't wait for somebody else to make the first move. Be the first one to jump. I'm going to end. I'm going to ask the band to come up. I want a little bit of music. This is a poem that I sort of put a bunch of words onto a page and then I throw it into AI. And AI put it all together and then I changed AI because I didn't like what it was. And I said, give me this, give me that. It's a wonderful co-creative process. But be careful about artificial intelligence because it's driving the human race today. But it created this beautiful poem that is my anthem, that is my love song to each and every one of you. I invite you to take it personally. I invite you to let it be the voice of God that is calling you here or you online to the transfiguration, to the transformation, to the beauty. A good portion of my life, I only defined myself by what I could do. I was only as good as how good I could play the piano or how hard I could work, how I could make you feel better. And I created the very reality that I was afraid of. I began to realize that my only value to anybody in my life was manufactured. And so they saw me just the way I created it. I'm only as good as what I can do for you. And when I am no longer needed by you, they left. I take full responsibility for the manufactured personality, the artificial intelligence. See, I created the very world that I was afraid of. I'm only as good as what I do. Welcome to my drama. Let me hire you as the actor in my play. And it hurt, and it hurt deeply. But when I hit the bottom of the well, something happened, and it was in a place just like this, where I looked around and said, I don't have to do it all alone. I don't have to be fake, but we can lift each other up. Let this be the voice of God, the voice of love, the voice of this community as a challenge to you today. You were never meant to shrink. The stars did not explode into being so that you could dim yourself into comfort. Life, wild, sacred, and untamable, poured itself into you so that you might become its living song. You were born from the breath of stars, a living flame of infinite design, meant to burn brilliantly, to paint your days in colors so bold that even angels pause to admire the view. Every cell in your being hums with divine permission. Be, shine, live, jump. Why whisper when your heart was built for symphonies? Why apologize for the very light that was placed in you by the infinite? You are not sent here to blend into the wallpaper of existence or to live at the bottom of a well. You were sent to blaze as the Christ, to love with a ferocity of 1,000 suns. Love loudly, love proudly, love foolishly. Love as if heaven itself were leaning forward, watching, saying, yes, that's it. That's it. That's what I meant. Welcome home. Stop rationing your tenderness or measuring your affection by the size of another's understanding. Pour it all out. Flood the world with your authenticity until every disguise dissolves and every false restraint falls away. Remove every mask, the ones you crafted to be accepted, the ones you wore to feel safe, the ones that silenced your heart and softened your truth. The divine doesn't dwell in who we pretend to be, but in the radiant honesty of who we already are. Step beyond every label ever placed upon you. Too much, too little, too loud, too different, too weird. Labels are only shadows cast by those who have forgotten the sun. Help them remember. Let your laughter shake the walls of repression. Let it echo through the corridors of conformity until even the most timid frogs remember how joy sounds when it's unrestrained, because they have forgotten. Let affection spill like sunlight through every window of your soul. Let your tears be sacred rain washing away the dust of pretense. Stand tall in your skin, as if the earth herself were beneath you, whispering, I've got you. You've got this, because she does. Let your truth stride through every doorway before your body does. Yes, the world will stare, will call you too much, too unrealistic, too foolish, too bold, too different. Those are the words of the fearful. Smile anyway. Dance anyway. Sing anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. For your authenticity is not a rebellion. It is your transfiguration. Take off the mask. And the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, until all that's left of you is love. And so it is, and so it shall be.